Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. I want to sort of begin our service with a bit of a family moment, as I think by now most of you, if not all, have heard the news that Megan Davidson was killed yesterday tragically in a car accident. She spent the morning working with our Stuff the Bus initiative and partnership and was serving in ministry, and she was in an accident on her way home. So obviously we gather in the midst of a great deal of grief and loss this morning, and we have been praying almost ceaselessly for Megan's husband, Randy, and their son, Drew, and her parents, Dwayne and Nikki, and her sister, Morgan. And I would just appreciate those, you know, those prayers to continue, obviously. Our staff gathered yesterday at 2 o'clock and again this morning, and I would appreciate your prayers. Our staff is very close, and so this is very hard. This is like losing a family member for us, very much so, and we're in shock. So we're here to serve you, but you also want to serve us, and so we thank you for that, and those expressions of love and support and prayers are just, they go a long way. I know many of you will want to know the service arrangements, and I would expect we'll know those this evening sometime, so be looking for those. We'll announce those as well. I want to extend our love and our prayers for the Greenwood campus community. Megan was at the center of their life together, and so this morning they are just doing the best they can. And so our staff gathered also yesterday, just think about how to do today. And, you know, and I would imagine many of you have come with that same question. We sort of found ourselves caught between two truths. One, that we could not authentically sort of pretend like we were okay and stuff our grief and just go on. And equally so, anybody who knew Megan knew of her passion, her intensity, and her love of Christ and for this church and this community. So almost anything, if you want to think of it this way, almost anything we could do today in our life together would honor her. And so we've gathered to worship. She would want us to know that God is with us, and she would want us to worship and be together and find God in the midst of us. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to change the service around, and I want to tell you about that in a few moments. We're going to sing the doxology in praise of God's goodness. In fact, the whole service today we had planned was about praise, and as I looked at my sermon, I thought maybe I would have to toss the whole thing. And truth be told, I think you'll see how these two things come together, both our grief and our praise at the same time, because God is good. And then we will join early on in the service together in Holy Communion, as we gather in the very presence of Jesus, who meets each one of us in our need, in our grief, and in our joy. It is also, we believe, that great a foretaste of that great table where we will feast together in eternity with God, feasting in God's presence. And so we believe we'll meet Jesus here today as a sign of the fuller thing that is to come. And so you are going to be invited into that as well. As you come for communion, as always, I would invite you to pray at the altar. And I recognize that some of us who gather knew Megan very well and are grieving deeply this morning. And some of us didn't know her as well and hurt for her and for us. And so just, I hope you'll feel the freedom to feel what you feel this morning, and to recognize that God meets you in that. If you want to stay at the altar and pray, we'll, during communion especially, we'll have more people here at the front to pray with you. And then after communion, we will engage in acts of worship as we do week in and week out. We have the joyous occasion of a beautiful baptism this morning of a beautiful child. And we will continue in our love of Jesus and love for one another, even as we gather today. And truth be told, as I think about it, that in some way is what happens every week. We gather, some of us grieving, some of us happy with joyful things going on. And week in and week out, you come in faith to do this very thing. This is what you do. This is what we do. And so I would simply invite you into that. 11 years ago, a young 20-something woman told her friend that they needed to find a church. And so walked in through the doors of our newly opened Greenwood campus. It is no exaggeration to say, in fact, I don't think we could say it strongly enough, it's no exaggeration to say that that step of courage and faith changed her life and the lives of many. In fact, Megan just kept taking steps of courage and faith from this person on the side who really did not have a relationship with the church and was questioning her relationship with God. She found a spiritual home. She found a fire. She found a calling. She found herself. And Megan kept taking steps of faith and courage in her bold, passionate, and straight-talking sort of way. Her growth in every aspect of life and her ministry were a result of her passionate pursuit of Christ. Her transformation was remarkable and so evident and holy. And it seemed like each step she took toward Christ was like fuel on the fire of her passion for God and for others. And on those days in the last 12 years where I've wondered, did our ministry matter, in those dark moments when I questioned whether what we do has any significance at all, I'm no joke, I would think of Megan, because she is the epitome of everything we would want for anybody, for each one of us, for you and for me. She is our vision as a church. Our vision is to be a contagious community of hospitality where all people are welcomed into a family of faith. Our vision is for a life-giving community of growth where hurts are healed, faith is restored, and people come more fully alive. And our vision is that we would be a selfless community of action that extends hope into our city and world. And Megan was all of that. And she gives us in her life and now in her death a vision of what God wants for us in the world. And so we gather in the midst of all kinds of feelings, grief and loss, and hope and praise, celebration and lament, and we trust that God is here. With that, let us pray, and then we'll sing. God, thank you for meeting us here. You know what we need and our needs really before we even have the courage to ask. You want far more for us than we want for ourselves. We confess our need for you and the emotions that are in the depths of our souls today. We thank you for Jesus, who becomes in moments like these and in every moment of our lives, we hope, the very center. And in him we find the grace and the redemption and the story that grounds our lives. Christ, meet us here. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy this day. And may your name be praised. Amen. I invite you to stand and let's sing. You may be seated. We remember that on the very night that Jesus gave himself up for us, in the moments that preceded the darkest time in his life, He was at table with his disciples, his friends, and he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup again, gave thanks, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this each time you drink it in remembrance of me." And so we do. We gather with the God who comes to us in the midst of our brokenness and suffering and death in the promise of resurrection, in his power over all things that might separate us from him, and in the hope of that resurrection that extends to every aspect of our lives. And so we pray that God would pour out his spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup, that these would be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood, that by his spirit we would be one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until that day when Christ comes in final victory and we feast together at his heavenly banquet. I'll invite those who are coming forward to serve communion forward. As we prepare to gather at the table, a few details, especially if you're a guest with us, we're so glad you're here. We'll take communion as you come forward this morning. By intinction, you'll break off a piece of the bread and then dip it into the cup and then receive it. And then, as I said, feel free to stay here in the front and pray. We have gluten-free elements over here if you require those. And we believe that all are welcome, that this is a reenactment of that day when we'll all join in the presence of Christ for eternity, made possible through Jesus. And so his invitation alone is what stands today. And I think we still have three stations, right? We do have five stations today, so three in the front and two in the back. And so feel free to come. Let's pray once more before we come. God, meet us here in the bread, in the cup, in these simple elements that you have transformed into a sign of your fullness. We remember that you who were whole became broken so that we who are broken might be made whole. We remember that you who were full became empty so that we who are empty might be made full. We gather in this hope and we come with even just a little faith that it is true for us and for our world. In Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. You're invited to the table.
has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice, and sees it all shaken and stirred. You with us, it is well.
trust you in this moment. Continue to lead and guide us. We're grateful for your peace. Holy Spirit, continue to move in through us this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I was thinking this morning, who's going to do our video announcements? Megan was a great, great, great dear friend of mine, and she gave me such courage in so many places, in so many areas. I shared with her great love for Jesus, great love for worship music, and a great love for our community. And that is something I feel charged to carry, and I feel for all of us. So as we remember, we are still the church. Her love is for all of these announcements that have been going on this month. So we thank God that he's going to provide the mentors in our school, in our school partnerships. We thank God that through us, he's going to provide the mentors for the Boys to Men program that we'll hear more about in the following weeks. We will still do the work that she has started and put out into our community and that she has continued to inspire us to do. So I encourage all of us in that we take her with us and all of that. And now, Adam.
Yeah. Let me invite the Hall family forward as we celebrate the baptism of Emmy Lynn Grace Hall, and as Michael and Amanda join our family here on this special day and in these special moments. We're so grateful for you and for your steps of faith into our community and for this precious child and for your family that's gathered who's taken up like the first three rows. Nobody ever wants those seats, so we're so honored to have you here with us today. And we're so grateful for these steps of faith that you're taking now. We consider these kinds of commitments and these vows to be life-shaping and transforming. And it brings us great joy and anticipation for what it means that you're saying yes to Christ and to our community today. And so let me ask you, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and trust in his grace for salvation? If so, say, I do. And do you resist the spiritual forces of evil in the world and will you work for justice through our ministry, through your prayers, presence, gifts, and service? So if so, say, we will. And will you raise this child to know Christ in her life, to not remember a day when she didn't know of his love and his grace and his community until that day where she would accept him for herself, that she might be nurtured in a home and a family and a church of faith? If you will raise her in this way, say, with God's help, we will. And as a community, will you nurture this child through your prayers and through your teaching and your volunteering in Kids Zone and as a youth group small leader? And will you, by your presence and by your example, be a sign of Christ to her and to our community? If so, say, with God's help, we will. All right, Emmy, let's see if we trust this or not. All right. There's Mama. Her full name?
Emmeline Grace Hall.
Emmeline Grace Hall, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, on this precious child, a sign of your grace just by her very being. Would you bless her in every way? And would you send your Spirit to guide her all her days through Jesus Christ our Lord? Amen. All right, we ought to celebrate her, huh?
Thank you all so much.
God bless you guys. All right, let's turn and let's stand and let's pass the peace of Christ to one another this morning. And show our appreciation just that we are here together in the love of Christ.
praise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody.
Jesus, we praise you. We praise you in the middle of the storm. We praise you in the midst of our heartache and our loss and our grief, knowing that you are with us, that you are for us, that we never face our perils alone. Jesus, continue to lead and guide us in this moment. We love you and we trust you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
In moments like these, sometimes it's just helpful to speak to God's work in our community and to see that not as sort of this disconnected thing, but the real reality of those of us who are on the ground. And so yesterday the plan was at 4:30 for us to gather and our lay leader, Jordan Carter, to be married, and that's what we did. Jordan, Helen Faye were married in a joyous ceremony with their friends and family gathered around. And Jordan has been a leader in our church, a prayer leader. He prays for us every single day. Jordan has prayed for his spouse to be every single day since he was in high school. And there were days when we didn't think God was going to answer that prayer. And days we were wondering if God had answered the prayer. I'm like, oh, we don't know. And for years, these things, you know how these things play out. And then he met someone he had known actually from childhood. 27 years ago, they had gathered at the altar of Bethel United Methodist Church as Mary and Joseph in the Christmas pageant. They had known each other all along, and God was just getting them ready. So yesterday, we had this wonderful celebration, and also yesterday, I got the kind of call that you just never want to get. Both things at the same time. Ironically, or maybe providentially, we've been preaching through the Psalms, and we've been saying, There it is, right there in the music of the Bible, both things at the same time, lament and praise. And either the one sort of has to cancel the other out, or you water down the other, or somehow this has got to fit all in the same Bible and in our same faith and the same experience. How do you do both? But then again, that's exactly how it works, isn't it? Every hallelujah is a hallelujah anyhow. Every lament, all of our grief and loss, is an honest recognition of what it means to be human. Both things go on at the same time. And each one of us, at the same time in our community, in our life together, both at the same time in our world. If there is to be any joy ever, if there is going to be anything worthy of praise, and then the recognition of actually speaking forth praise as the Bible seems to think we ought to do, then there has to be a way of doing both of them equally. And maybe the answer is not to balance one or the other, but to raise both up fully. To stop numbing ourselves and sort of getting through life and start doing this life in the fullness that God has called us to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and not in some tidy way that makes it all kind of work out or answers our existential questions, but in a way that is full on, full force relationship with God. When we lament and when we cry out and when we grieve, we do so as a response to God. And when we praise, we praise God, both things. The Bible seems to think that's what we ought to do. And it's so honest in being able to do both. I think it is ironic that people around the world maybe don't struggle with this as much as we do. Those of us who have a lot going for us, I think, struggle to praise more than others. And the Bible is full of praise. Psalm 145, Psalm 146, Psalm 147, Psalm 148, Psalm 149, and Psalm 150, the ending of the Psalter is just bam, bam, bam. Praise. In fact, Psalm 145, we think, was the original ending, and they just couldn't quit. It's like the band coming out for the encore. Nobody would leave. We said, you know, Psalm 145 ends, let all flesh praise the Lord. And they're like, no, we need more. Psalm 145 is intended to be the most comprehensive look of God in we could imagine from the universe sort of perspective through every generation. And then Psalm 146 begins, praise the Lord, or hallelujah, and it ends the same way, hallelujah. Psalm 147 begins and ends, and all of the psalms that follow. Hallelujah. That hallelujah is a hallelujah anyhow. And it teaches us something. We tend to think that praise, number one, is something that we have to, I think, feel. And sometimes I think we do. But very often, I think praise is our strategy in a world full of brokenness, in lives that are sinful and hurting. Praise is a choice, is a decision, is a tool to counter our negativity bias and to counter the losses and griefs of our experience. Our brains are wired to focus on negative things. That's just sort of an evolutionary sort of challenge and ability. Our ancestors sort of got this sort of wired into them. The people who didn't notice negative things were eaten by saber-toothed tigers, and the rest of us became a bunch of worry warts and stressed out negative Nellies. People who get frustrated easily, who curse at people on Scottsville Road, who get frustrated with the very people that we love and we want to in our families, want to love better. We're all kind of wired, unfortunately, to look at the negative side of life, and then life keeps giving us reasons to confirm our bias. Praise is a decision to see the truth that is equally there, that at the root of all things, God is good. And the God of all goodness is the one who is intended to be our focus. Praise is a way of redirecting our thoughts and our lives and the time that we spend in our heads and the words that we speak out of our mouths toward God. And that is intended to be done big. There's kind of no other way to do it. And this is a challenge when we come into worship. We don't want to like fake stuff. We don't want to try to work people into some emotional frenzy. It is the soul work that we each have to do to get there when we come together in worship, to be ready to praise. Nobody can do this for you or for me. And yet when we come together and do it, something unique in the creation happens. The creature connects to the creator, and we do the thing that we were made to do and the thing that we will be doing for eternity, basking in the fullness of God's presence and enjoying it because we can't help ourselves. That's still possible here on this earth, Jesus seemed to think. This is why he talked about the kingdom of God and called us to it. And so our life together, our lament and our praise, are intended to be a sign, a symbol, and a foretaste of this fuller thing that is happening also at the same time. Heaven doesn't start when you get there, by the way. Have you thought of it this way? Heaven is already going on. Eternity is already in session, and it is breaking forth into this world. And so those who have eyes to see, who orient their lives and who live in certain ways and intentionally direct their lives in a certain way, begin to see this thing that was there all along and that we have been missing. And this is what praise does for us. This is why these words of the Psalms become a lifeline for us. They are the hallelujah anyhow of the people who are redeemed. It is what was written on the Nazi prison wall. I believe in the sun when it's not shining. I believe in love even when I don't feel it. I believe in God even when God is silent. Praise is what gives focus in the chaos of our turbulent world. Garrison Keillor speaks to that from sort of a global perspective. What else will do except faith or praise in such a cynical, corrupt time? When things go temporarily to the dogs, we must have faith that all this woofing is not the last word. What is the last word then? Well, it is there in everyday life, a sign that faith rules through ordinary things and ordinary people, I might add, through cooking and small talk, through living our lives and families and in our relationships, through storytelling, through making love, through fishing, through tending animals and sweet corn and flowers and tomatoes, I'm adding that too, and sports and music and books and raising kids there. And this is what he says, all the places where the gravy soaks in and grace shines through. This is the very thing we want. Telling us to praise God is like telling us to enjoy chocolate, to smile at a baby, or to fall in love. Why would we not want these things? What keeps us from holding and causes us to hold back rather than to live full on, full force in praise of God. This is where we land today, especially today. It's where the Psalter lands. Psalm 145, 146, 147, 148, 149, 150, just in case we didn't get it. So the end of the Psalter, the last verse, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Last Sunday, I preached at our Greenwood campus. I hadn't been there, I don't know, in a year or so. Some of you will know that I was the Greenwood campus pastor for 7 years, and it was wonderful and great to go back and preach there. I remember sort of reflecting over there. My first Sunday over there, I was 31 years old, and now I'm not. And, you know, I've heard other pastors say that the longer you stay, the harder it gets in some ways, because when you grieve hard. But last Sunday was one of the best days. And we put a lot of time into planning worship, and you kind of hope things work out. You hope the mic works and all, you know, just lots of things. But we were talking about praise, and I preached a different sermon on Psalm 145. And we wanted to just live it out rather than talk about it. We wanted to live it out. So we sang a song that that I believe we're going to sing here in just a second. And then through communion, we sang, and something happened, y'all. I mean, it's just like the thing that you can't plan. That's not in the black and white script. People just kept kind of getting drawn into this moment of worship. And it doesn't happen every Sunday, and it shouldn't necessarily, but it did. And there was a song that Megan had been teaching them out at Greenwood that we sang at the end. Before this morning, by the way, the last time I heard the communion liturgy was from Megan's voice back that last week at Greenwood. And at 9 o'clock and at 10:30, when we sang that last song, people were singing. And especially at 10:30, people were weeping. And it was just so special. And we talked about it afterwards. We talked about it Monday and Tuesday. We all just kind of said it was something happened. And at 10:30, Megan, in her Megan way, as I was getting ready to do the benediction and, you know, kind of go through the motions, she went like this, stop. And she jumped out into the aisle and she did this number. She said, you all, you did it. You did it. And it was beautiful and it was awesome. I'm so proud of you. The last time the church saw her gathered for worship was in that kind of praise, y'all. May we be this, you can't fake it till you make it. You can't kind of work yourself up into it in an emotional frenzy. It only happens through an honest to God relationship with Jesus, where you work through your stuff and you grab on for dear life and you serve with all your might. And that was Megan. May it be us as we praise and as we grieve and as we serve and as we love. May we hear the call of Christ to do it in a way that just is different than the world does it, through the power of Jesus at work in us. So I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to end it except for us to sing. now that I've got you all, we'll get you a towel and stuff. To sing a song of praise, one of the songs we sang last week at Greenwood, as we hear this call to find our lives focused on the one who adores us and loves us. And to call us from ways of living that distract us from that, or actually are in rebellion against the very thing that God wants to do in us, to repent of our sin and turn toward him in praise, to lift him up so that we might enjoy him forever, to join with people around the world who are hearing this call into the kingdom of God, to joyfully and in obedience follow Jesus wherever he leads us. And for us to be that here in Bowling Green, Kentucky, the ordinary people of God who also are the holy people of God who find their lives more and more focused on his goodness. Let me invite you to that as we sing.
Yeah.
drive out a single word.
I want to invite you to give yourself fully to the mission of Jesus. And if it's through this church, let's do it passionately with his strength and power. Some ways that you can do that are continue to take spiritual steps and let us know how we can help you take those. If you got a book and you're going to be reading that through our next series, if you pre-ordered that last week, it's available today. And if you want to pre-order it, then you can still do that and take the thing out of your bulletin that we have there for you and just put your name on it and leave it at the welcome desk or in a basket in the back. You can also do that with your offering. Somebody in our finance team is like, did we take up an offering today? We're going to do that as you go. It seemed like the appropriate way as our sending takes us out in mission to the world. Just give your offering there at a basket as we go. And we're going to join in the 23rd Psalm, as we've been doing in this series, to send us out. And so may these words be true of us as we claim them in faith. Let's join together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Go in peace.